fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the show on this Wednesday, this really unprecedented Wednesday. It is January the 6th. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And going into today, I wasn't going to mention this because I didn't know about it until very, very recently. I got a text from my producer, Lucas Holt, this afternoon. Hey, have you heard about what's going on in D.C.? I actually had not. I had my head down. I was working on the show. I very, very quickly found out what had happened. And just in case you're not aware, if you're maybe listening to this program, tuning in overseas, and you haven't been watching the news, you haven't seen what's been happening, the doors of the U.S. Capitol building were breached today by a crowd. We need to pray for peace. We need to acknowledge this at the top of the show. It's the elephant in the room. We have to talk about it, at least briefly. Toronto Raptors coach Nick Nurse has on his desk a very large statue of an elephant, and that's what it's there for, to remind him when he meets with somebody, and sometimes he has to have a difficult conversation with somebody, releasing a player, whatever. It's a reminder to deal with the elephant in the room first, to talk about it, not to ignore it. And we all know what has happened today in D.C., at least most of us do. And in case you don't, just a very, very quick rundown. Right now, police forces are clearing a crowd from one of the most iconic buildings in America, the Capitol building. And shortly after 1 p.m., hundreds of people pushed through barriers which were set up around the perimeter of the Capitol, tussled at some level with officers who were wearing full riot gear. And about 90 minutes later, police are saying that some demonstrators actually got into the building, and there's been photographic evidence of this, video evidence of this since then. The doors to the House and the Senate were being locked at the time. Shortly afterwards, the House floor was evacuated by police. An armed standoff took place at the front door of the House at approximately 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Police officers had guns drawn. Someone was trying to breach the door. A woman is now in critical condition after being shot in the chest on the Capitol grounds. The circumstances of her shooting are still somewhat unclear. Multiple officers have been injured. At least one of them has been transported to the hospital. Smoke grenades were used on the Senate side of the Capitol as police were working to clear the building. Windows on the west side of the Senate were broken. Hundreds of officers are amassing, and in fact, the National Guard has been called in at the scene. The Senate floor was cleared at approximately 3:30 p.m. Eastern, and Vice President Mike Pence, along with many others, were evacuated. And this really is it's virtually unprecedented. The last time that the U.S. Capitol building was breached was when it was attacked and burned by the British in August of 1814 during the War of 1812. So this is an absolutely horrific event. It is very tragic and regrettable. And we need to pray. What can we do about this? This is not news radio. This is Catholic radio. So if you want the latest rundown on this, this is not necessarily the place to go, although clearly we are aware of this. Really, what can we do about it? We can pray. We can pray. And we will in just a few moments. And of course, later on this evening on Relevant Radio, on the Family Rosary Across America, which is co-hosted by our own Karen Moran, who's here with us tonight, and Father Rocky, of course, no doubt this is going to be the central item of prayer during that Rosary Across America. We need to pray. What can you and I do about this? Not too much in terms of what can we do to affect things. Not really anything right now other than pray. I would encourage you to stay informed. Do what you need to do to stay informed. But try not to, for lack of a better word, get too obsessed with this coverage. And I'm guilty of this too. There were many a night over the past few months, everything that's been going on in our culture over the past few months, there have been many, many nights when I've spent way too much time in front of the television, consuming news, wanting to know the latest minute by minute, what is happening. Did that extra time really do me much more good? I don't think so. In my case, no. I lost a lot of sleep. I probably, didn't gain too much benefit from it. So be informed. know what's going on, but try not to worry about it. Pray about it. As St. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, because it's only when we pray, God can change situations. Most situations we can't, especially like this, we can't directly impact except with our prayers. And that's what we're going to be actually talking about tonight. And one of the things that we do on this show, on the Cale Clark Show, is, you know, I've tried over the past few months to give you a break from all the news. Sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's a lot of bad news that you hear every single day in the media. And I want to take you to a different place. I want to give you a break. It's not escapism. It's reality, because we're going to the ultimate reality, which is God, our prayer life, our Catholic life. And so it's in the silence of prayer that God can act. God can act. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to open this show. And ironically, or perhaps providentially, I was going to talk about prayer tonight anyways. And I think that's a good thing to do in light of what's happening. So let's pray a prayer to the Prince of Peace for peace in the United States. And of course, during this Advent and Christmas season that we've just been through, we remember and we recall that very famous prophecy, that verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, the ultimate government of the kingdom of God, which is our only true hope. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus Christ, you are called the Prince of Peace. You yourself are our peace and reconciliation. You so often said, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Please grant us your peace. Please make all men and women witnesses of truth, justice, and brotherly love. Banish from our hearts whatever might endanger our peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. The phone number to call on the program today, 1-888-914-9149. Patrick Alog is standing by to take your call, 1-888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And we also, of course, have a show account, at Cale Clark Show. And you can email us, cale@relevantradio.com. You know, one of the ways that we can meet this Prince of Peace in our very often chaotic situations, where one of the ways that we can find that elusive peace that he promised he would give us, and that it would pass all understanding, all human conceptions of peace, which very often is a very shaky truce, as we found out. One of the ways where we can truly find the supernatural peace, which is on a different level, is we can only really find it in a place that we really don't want to go. And that is a place of silence. I just gave you a moment of silence there for effect, you know, a little humor there. We need it. And one of the more popular books in the Catholic world that's come out recently is a book by Cardinal Robert Sarah. And it's called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. I'm not sure if you've read this book, but it's extremely powerful. I read it and I used it for spiritual reading recently, and I found it incredibly edifying. The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. And Cardinal Sarah did a bit of a tour. He came to Toronto, where I live, and he wanted to speak to the cardinal and all the priests and seminarians in the area. But he also gave a public lecture about this topic, the power of silence, at St. Michael's Cathedral in downtown Toronto. And I went to see this, and I was really surprised, because when I got there, it was standing room only. The place was packed to the gills for this message about silence. And when Cardinal Sarah was speaking, you could literally hear a pin drop. It was very poetic. It was, very appropriate for what he was talking about. It was a hopeful sign. And silence is really what we've got to recapture. And in this first week of the year on the Cale Clark Show here on Relevant Radio, we've been looking at ways to kind of make some good spiritual resolutions, some great habits that you can get into in 2021. And on Monday, we actually had a Twitter poll going about what spiritual resolutions you'd like to make, what changes you'd like to make in your life. And we gave you a few different choices. I mean, we only had so much space, so we just picked two or three things. And one of the choices was, would you consider making a retreat? And I was a little surprised that actually this choice finished dead last in the poll. And it wasn't close. It wasn't close. And Karen, I don't know if you're on the air, but if you could give me the percentage of what people, what percentage of folks voted for that option, let me know.
I'm looking at it right now, Kale.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, let me know. I was a little bit shocked, a little bit troubled actually by that, because I think retreats are really, really important. Now, it's not always possible for people to make a retreat, especially a silent retreat. But I recommend that when I go on retreat, and I try to go on retreat once a year, I try to go on a silent retreat for 3 days.
And only 3%.
Only 3%. Okay, so it's worse than I thought. It's worse than I thought.
Maybe because read more of the Bible was easier and at the top. I don't know. But you're right. A retreat is a good thing.
It's a good thing. And I wondered whether retreats kind of ranked so low, Karen. I wonder whether it had anything to do with, in general in our culture, our general aversion to silence and solitude. And we need this from time to time. Now, it could be on a retreat. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on a retreat. It could be just carving out some time on the regular for silence and solitude each day.
But your poll today is getting great reviews on 94.4% say yes, they would consider going on a silent retreat.
Oh,
so
well, hey.
Maybe we narrow it down to yes or no, or maybe.
No one said maybe. Yeah. Well, people have changed. That's great to hear. I didn't know that. So that's a positive sign. That is a really positive sign.
And you maybe know, it was just narrowing it down, a retreat versus a silent retreat.
Maybe, you know, maybe.
Silent retreat's a big deal,
but not as big as you might think. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And some people just can't possibly conceive of not talking for, you know, one day, let alone 3 days, even for a few hours. And believe me, I actually find it refreshing.
Yeah,
I actually look forward to it.
Unplug. Yeah, and the noise is overwhelming right now. So, yeah. Makes sense.
And I think that's true. I think that's true. You know, we have, you know, we're just in this, you know, cacophony of noise in our culture. And it's the noise of the news cycle and the stress that everybody's under because of all the momentous events that have been happening, including today's events. And they're very stressed and they need to get away from that. They need to break away from all the other voices that they're hearing in the culture so they can hear the voice of God. You know, we are not supermen and superwomen. In fact, even, and I'm a big Superman fan, even Superman himself, as you know, had, guess what? The Fortress of Solitude, right? Where he could go to be quiet and to commune with his father, Jor-El, or, you know, you might know him better as Marlon Brando. But anyways, if you've seen the original Superman films by Richard Donner. And by the way, Superman really, we've talked about this before. This is another show for another day. He really is a Christ figure, a Messiah figure. El, of course, is the Hebrew name for God, one of the Hebrew names for God. Jor-El, Kal-El, Superman's Kryptonian name. Get it? All right. So anyways, here's a clip from one of my all-time favorite superhero films, Superman 2. And just to set the stage for you, Superman, Kal-El, has just made a huge mistake. And he's basically given up his powers, and he tries to sort this out. He goes to the Fortress of Solitude to chat things over with his father.
Father? If you can hear me, I failed. I failed you. I failed myself and all humanity. I've traded my birthright for a life of submission in a world that's now ruled by your enemies. There's nobody left to help them now. People of the world. Not since I... Father!
Father! Yeah, that sounds an awful lot like my prayer times, you know? My wife Trish gets a little concerned. You know, she hears me up in my upper room, "Father!" You know, and it's very interesting, isn't it? It sounds almost like confession, right? I've failed you. I've failed humanity. I've failed myself. And we talked about this the other day, that our sins aren't just personal, right? They affect other people, because we, as the body of Christ, if we sin, you know, it wounds the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the church, and we're part of that body. And so it does affect the world, affects everybody. If the church is weak because of sin, even our personal sins, it affects the overall witness of Christ in the world. There's a ripple effect. It's not just about us. And this is why one of the things I'm going to say later on, one of the reasons why we need to get into silence, it's not just for our own sake. It's for the sake of other people. But we need it too. We absolutely need it too. And a lot of people just, you might know people like this. You might even be one of these people. You just can't take the silence, the incredible, you know, how loud silence can be, especially when you're not used to it. Especially when you're not used to it. And, you know, sometimes people who get to know me, sometimes they, you know, don't do a lot of this lately, obviously in COVID times, but if they're hitching a ride with me, if we're driving somewhere, me and a friend, they're often surprised that I almost never listen to the radio, ever. And that may be a bad thing for a radio host to say, but but hey, only relevant radio, of course. But what I actually do, my clock radio in the car is totally broken anyways. I think the date on it says, literally, it says January the 6th, 2011. I don't know what happened, but I know I've been accused of living in the past before, but this is ridiculous. Anyhow, I don't often turn it on anyways. The time's wrong, you know, the year is wrong. I just like to, it's one of the few times when I can actually just be in silence. I do a lot of praying usually in the car, going from place to place. I pray my rosary in the car usually, do some mental prayer in the car. Anyways, but a lot of people, they just can't do that. They've got to have the radio going. They've got to have their phone plugged in. Maybe they're listening to a podcast or you know, music and, you know, off of their phone. They don't want to be silent. They can't be silent. But you need to be. You have to understand that you need this, because you're a human being, not a human doing. Okay, you're not a machine. And we were made as humans for, you know, we're made to be in community, yes, of course. We're a social animal, for sure. But we were made for these rhythms, you know, natural rhythms of our life, of silence and noise, being in community, but also being in solitude. And it's not actually healthy to always have others around, whether they're actually there in front of you or whether they're in your ear, you know, through the media. God actually has made us for certain. Now, our cycles and seasons have been totally thrown off kilter by the current pandemic and all sorts of things. I mean, even the seasons of my favorite sports. I mean, we had the NBA championship, you know, awarded just before Christmas, for goodness sakes. And so things have been thrown off. But we often have times of activity and times of retreat. And God knows this. That's why he gave us a Sabbath on the seventh day for rest, to get, you know, alone with him in solitude. And that's part of it. And even Jesus himself was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's in Matthew's gospel. In Mark's gospel, it literally says the Spirit drove him, like, out into the wilderness, like forced him there in a sense. That's the sense of the Greek text. He went out to a desolate place and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He spent the whole night praying alone. Now, he was never alone. He was with his Heavenly Father, of course, the night before he selected all the apostles, for example. And so getting away, Jesus always said to his apostles, you know, come away with me and let's go somewhere and get some rest. And very often he couldn't even do that, because they would run into these crowds and they needed help, and he had compassion on them. He's not going to leave them in their misery. He's going to help them. So, but there you see that need, even for the Lord and even for the apostles, to get away. And it's all the more pressing in modern life, because life now is a heck of a lot more complicated and busy and noisy than it ever was in the first century. And what one of the costs of this society that we live in now, there's a lot of benefits to it, but there's a huge temptation to completely avoid quietness. If we want to avoid silence completely, we can. And we're almost addicted to it. We're almost addicted to it. And so how do we get out of this? How can we recover prayer, silence as a spiritual discipline? I'm going to share this with you a little bit after the break. So we'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call on the Cale Clark Show. We're talking about prayer, and we're certainly praying for the nation in light of the events that are unfolding right now today in Washington, D.C. Really, prayer is all we can do. That's how we can affect the situation. So we're doing that, of course, on Relevant Radio, on Catholic Radio today, and it will continue on later in a little bit more intense way during the Family Rosary Across America with Karen Moran and, of course, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio. But if you want to call in and talk about prayer, have you ever tried making a silent retreat? How'd that work out for you? Do you find it difficult to be silent for any period of time? A lot of people are struggling with this because it's in silence that we can hear God's voice. We're going to be talking a little bit more about retreats in just a minute. And once again, that number to call is 1-888-914-9149. And Patrick Alog will be screening the calls today and taking your call. And he's also been giving me a fair amount of ribbing during the breaks today on the show because, of course, the Canadian World Junior Hockey Team did lose the gold medal match to the United States last night. And I was actually tweeting during the game, and I said, you know, are any of my American friends actually caring about this or watching this? And right away, I got a tweet from Steve Weidenkopf, who's, of course, a church historian, Christendom College, friend of the program. He's been on the show before, written so many great books about church history, and he's a huge hockey nut. He was like, oh, yeah, let's go USA. And he was just all over it. So congratulations to the Americans. Canada could not defend their gold medal. It's Brother Andre's feast day today. Of course, St. Andre of Montreal, God's doorkeeper. Even his intercession, couldn't help, or I don't know. He chose not to. Anyways, Canada did lose to the States 2-0. Incredible performance by the Americans. Congratulations to the World Junior Team. It's really the biggest international hockey tournament outside the Olympics. And it's really big in Canada. It always happens over the Christmas holiday break. And wow, what a defensive performance. I've never seen anything like that by the American team. So congrats. And congrats to you for being here, because we're talking about something really important, which is the idea of... And this is a good time to do it, maybe, early in the new year, after the busyness of the holiday season, to get yourself set right for this coming year spiritually. It might be good to consider doing a retreat. And there are many types of retreats that you can do, but I do think it's important to try to get away. I try to do a retreat once a year, a three-day silent retreat, and I do it usually in January or February, because I do it for a couple of reasons at that time. I want to kind of reset myself spiritually, look at my spiritual goals, also goals in other areas of my life, my relationships, my work, all of that stuff. And I like to see how I'm doing, kind of take stock at the beginning of the year. So it's good to get away to do that if possible, but just getting away isn't enough. A lot of people can get away from, you know, the city or the towns where they live, and maybe they're already living in a rural area, but a lot of people can get away and get into sort of a retreat-type environment, but they don't necessarily connect with God. There's nothing distinctly Catholic about simply getting away. There are a lot of nature lovers out there who don't give a thought to God. David Attenborough, of course, of BBC fame, you know, he's, you know, the narrator of all these incredible nature shows like Blue Planet. And you watch these shows, they're so amazing. You think, how can this guy be an atheist? You know, the creation is telling the glory of God, but yet he is an atheist. And the reason why is because, well, one of the huge reasons why people are atheists is because of this problem of evil. Theodicy is the technical name for it. And in his case, he can't understand why a good God would allow the suffering, in particular, of children, of innocent children. Now, to me, that's really the only good argument in an atheist arsenal, is the problem of evil. But even that can be turned around to explain how there can still be a creative, loving God, a providential God. After all, God's own child suffered and was killed, was murdered. But that's another topic for another show. But let's talk about this idea of getting away. It can help to get into an environment, maybe a beautiful environment where your retreat house might be. That helps us to connect sometimes nature with God. But it's not just about getting away. It's not just about trying to even have a rest or a respite from your normal duties. It's about coming back better. Coming back better. Finding a new resolve, a new initiative for our efforts, for how we're going to live out our faith, our calling to be saints in the home, among our friends, at work, in the church. And it's a good chance to do some self-examination. What have our blind spots become? We've had our eye on so many different things that we've often not looked in the mirror. And so what do we need to refocus on? That's a good thing to do. That's a really good thing to do. And when we get alone in the silence, it's sometimes difficult to even get past our own internal monologue. Forget about, you know, all the other voices that are always around us. The very first voice we've got to eliminate once we get in that silent place, and this is true even for our own personal prayer, is that inner voice, you know, that can easily get pretty loud. And we've got to hear God's voice. And I don't expect to hear, you know, an audible voice, by the way, you know, Moses, Moses. That's probably not going to happen. It does happen to some of the saints, but he's probably going to speak to you in a pretty ordinary way. And that's okay, because you're living life in an ordinary world. And I wouldn't expect anything outlandish in that sense. It could happen, but I doubt it. So what you want to do is create a context for hearing from God, a place, set the stage where you can hear from him. So just being in silence is not enough. Just being in solitude, it's not enough. It just sets the stage for this encounter with God. And that's what you've got to really look for, you know, in prayer and in the Word. So this is it. And one of the reasons why solitude is helpful, and it's also helpful in our prayer, is because, well, think about the fact that we have two ears and one mouth, right? That could be a sign to us. You know, maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. That's good for our conversations with others. And it's also good for our conversations with God. If we fast from talking, fast from noise, we can improve how we listen for God's voice. And that's it. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, I once encountered, this, by the way, he's got some great resources, a person named James Stenson. James Stenson, you can look him up. He's got a website, I believe it's called Parent Leadership. He's written a lot of books on parenting. He's written a lot of books on fatherhood, Father the Family Protector. He's written a book called Compass. It's about family life. Got some great resources for parents on his website. And he was actually the headmaster of a very successful school for young men. And one of the things that he noticed during his many, many years as the head of this school was that some kids tended to be super, super, you know, successful in all the right ways. They were well-grounded people of faith who, you know, were excellent students, excellent members of their families, communities, that really were going to be good professionals in life and contribute positively to the world around them. They had a rightly ordered internal life. And then other students weren't so successful. They ran into a lot of problems, maybe problems with the law, problems with failing grades, problems with substance abuse. And he always wanted to ask the question, was there anything that the parents were doing of the kids that were well-adjusted, that were doing great? Was there something that these parents were doing that the other parents weren't doing? And so what he did was he basically interviewed all the parents of the best kids that he could find. And he noticed that a lot of them were doing the same thing. So he wrote a lot about this stuff. So you might want to check out his work. And I came across a document that he wrote about making a retreat really powerful. And by the way, even if you're not on retreat, you can use these tips for your personal prayer as well. By the way, I went to hear him speak once. He was in town, and He almost never gave the speech because I almost ran him over with my car. He was in the parking lot and he was just kind of walking, smoking his pipe, just taking a bit of a break. And I came tearing in there, and he had this deer in the headlights. Like, anyways, I'm a pretty safe driver, but anyways, he nearly didn't make his appointment. Let's put it that way. But forgive me, Lord. Anyways, he's got a great document out there about making a good retreat. And again, this is applicable to prayer. Even if you're not able to do that right now, really the purpose of going on a retreat is to connect with God in prayer. So here's how you can do this. And when you do this, by the way, it's going to give you a much richer life. You're going to actually regain the happiness that you once knew as a child. Does that sound good to you? A taste of joyful adventure that all the saints have experienced. And, you know, who wouldn't want that? You know, who wouldn't need that? And, you know, maybe you haven't come to this point yet where you think a retreat might be beneficial to you. Maybe you have. I mean, maybe you've been nagged about it, you know, by a spouse, a friend, by me. You know, really, this is a good idea. But no matter what, it can be an important turning point in your life. And it's going to lead to two things. Number one, you're going to be happier. And number two, the people around you are going to be happier as well. And that's really important. Again, the reason why we want to become better disciples of Christ, it's not just for our own sake. It's for the sake of others, for your spouse, if you're married, for your children, if you have them, for your friends, the people around you. And I've had guys tell me, I've invited guys to retreats with me in the past, some of my friends. A lot of these guys are just super, super great guys. And this one particular guy who's always telling me, I can't go. Well, I said, why not? Because I don't want to pull myself away from my family. My family time is precious. You know, I want to spend time with my wife. I want to spend time with my kids. I don't want to deprive them of my presence. But what he doesn't understand is that if he were actually to make a retreat, he would actually be a better husband, a better spouse, you know, a better parent. And it would actually have huge effects for these people who he loves so much. And that might seem unrealistic to a lot of people, but it's really not. God actually has plans for our happiness that we haven't even really begun to imagine. We have to scratch the surface of that. We've got to really dig into that a little bit. And when you read the Gospels, we see this all over the place. There are people like you and me who discover, you know, unheard of promises for their lives that they've never suspected once they met Christ and really became better friends with him. Maybe they knew him a little bit, but became better friends with him. And that's really what can happen to us on a retreat. And there's a lot of things to think about. There's a lot of things to think about. And really, one of the things you can do, if you do go on a retreat, you're going to understand that, you know, you might think, I don't have the time to be here. Maybe you're a busy person at work and you've got a laundry list of things that need to be done and that aren't done. And you're thinking about all these issues and things that are happening at the office. And you think, this is the last place I need to be. But it's really the first place you need to be because, again, the enemy has all kinds of tricks to ensure that we don't pray, that other things are more important, that, you know, we don't have the time for this. But you really, this is a smokescreen because he doesn't want you to go on retreat. The enemy doesn't want you on retreat, doesn't want you to get a deeper prayer life because he knows the positive changes that are going to happen in your life. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's going to try to get you away from this. So understand this. The book of Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, and this is a favorite verse, I'm sure, of yours as well as one of mine. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are exalted above the earth, so are my ways exalted above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. When you go on a retreat, you're always with a group of people, usually, and even on a silent retreat, there are usually other people there, although sometimes people make private retreats, but people are there for all different kinds of reasons. As I alluded to earlier, you know, maybe it's out of a sense of guilt. Maybe their spouse forced them to go or their spiritual director told them to go. People have all kinds of different motives. Some people just want to rest. They just want to use this opportunity as a time to rest and catch up on their sleep. Others want to think about some of their affairs from a human perspective. And, you know, that's not necessarily all bad. They want to rearrange their priorities. And whatever the case is, some people want to go there to increase their faith and deepen their relationship with Christ. Whatever the case may be, though, there's not always a clear set reasons, a clear set of reasons that people have for going. But yet, here they are. But one of the things is that you'll realize is that the reason, and Jim Stenson talks about this, the reasons that we think we're there are not the reasons why God wants us there. God uses the circumstances of our lives. When we go on a retreat, it could be we're tired from all of our duties. You know, when we get there, we're tired. We're confused about certain situations, what we should do. We've got issues. Issues with our family and what they're up to and what they're going through. Whatever those situations are, the circumstances of your life, God uses those to get you to where he wants you to be. So you can experience his love for you in a deeper way. And he has things that he wants to tell you. You know, you have your reasons, you have your things that you want to talk to him about, but we've got to learn what plans he has for us in the time that's remaining in our lives, which may not be long. We don't know, right? Jesus tells a parable in the gospel about, you know, a tree that's not bearing fruit. And, you know, it's like the gardener says, you know, the owner is like, listen, I want to cut down this tree. It's not bearing any fruit. This is ridiculous. I've been waiting years. And the gardener says, wait a minute. Can you just please wait one more season? I'm going to, you know, dig around it. I'm going to try to fertilize it. I'll, you know, put some manure out there or whatever. It's not going to smell great, but I'll try one more time, one last time to see if it can bear fruit. And the owner is like, all right, you got one more year, but if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. And we don't know when that time is going to come for us, right? This could be our last year, 2021, to try to bear some fruit for the kingdom. So God knows this. So we don't have any time to waste here. We don't have any time to waste. So one of the things you can do when you're trying to pray and try to figure out what God's plan is for your life, a good thing to do is take the gospel. And we talked about this a little bit earlier this week. Take one of the gospels and try to use that as, you know, a way to start off with reading the scriptures. You can start off with Mark. It's the shortest gospel. Maybe you like John better. It doesn't matter. As you read the gospel and you're looking at these situations in the life of Christ, try to put yourself in the scene. This is what spiritual masters have always recommended. And ask, if you're coming across something that really catches your eye, maybe one of the characters in the gospels, ask yourself, why is this speaking to me? Is it possible that this person is like me in my situation right now? Like the apostles, when they first met Jesus, they're probably pretty curious about him. When Jesus called them, like he called Matthew at the tax collector's booth, get up and follow me, I don't think that was the first time that Matthew saw Jesus or heard Jesus. Or the fishermen, you know, Peter, James, and John. When Jesus said, you know, hey, drop your nets, come follow me, it's not as if he sort of hypnotized them. They'd never seen him before. And they just, okay, and mesmerized, they just followed him. I think they had listened to him talk. They had seen him in action. They were curious about him, and they wanted to know more. And they had heard him, and by the time he called them personally, they were ready. They're like, yeah, I buy into this guy. Nathaniel, right? Remember Nathaniel? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was basically nagged by his buddies to come and meet Jesus, and he wanted to kind of make fun of him. Okay, I'll see this guy. Yeah, he's a nobody. No, you're wrong. He's blown away. He was blown away. You are the king of Israel, he winds up saying to Jesus, right? So there we have it. Bartimaeus, you know, he's in personal misery. Maybe you're in personal misery today. He's got a lot of issues. He calls out to Christ for help. Number one is he's blind. And Christ heals him, and the first thing he sees is the face of Christ. He gets that vision of God, and he follows him on the way. Maybe you're like Bartimaeus, and there's so many people that we can look at in the gospel. Nicodemus, an older man. You might think, I'm on the wrong side of the ledger here. God can't use me at my age. Yes, he can. He used Nicodemus. He transformed Nicodemus. Nicodemus goes from this guy who's scared. He comes to see Jesus at night. He's afraid what people think. And then when Jesus dies on the cross, he's like, I'm going to give him a proper burial. And I don't care what people think. Even if I get killed, I'm going to risk my reputation for the Lord. So his life was really just beginning. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he was born again. He had a new life, even at an older age. Don't forget, Moses really never got going until he was 80, right? So God still has plans for you. Anyways, we'll have much more to share about this, along with your calls, right after this break. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the Cale Clark Show. You can reach us at 1-888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And we also have a show account as well, at Cale Clark Show. And Karen Moran is monitoring the situation closely on social media. You can also email us, Cale@relevantradio.com. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about the importance of building, if you will, a fortress of solitude, whether that's on retreat or in your own daily personal prayer. We've been talking about silent retreats, how to kind of build a place where you can commune with God. And that's so needed, especially on a day like today, when there's so much chaos happening in our nation's capital. What can we do about it? We can pray. We can pray. The Family Rosary Across America is coming up later. The situation will be prayed over, believe me. But we can do so much. And we're going to go to the phones right now. Deacon Martin is calling from Gary, Indiana. Deacon, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine, Cale. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
I do a silent retreat every year, but I do mine at the beginning of the liturgical year.
Okay.
And that's really a good. I find it to be a really good way to take it in, take myself into the into Christmas, and I'll get prepared for all of that. And
yeah.
Last year, because I was doing some stuff, I couldn't do it in before it Lent. And at Advent, so I had to do it after Christmas, and it was good, but it wasn't. It wasn't that same feeling of, you know, that first Sunday of Advent, going being on retreat and just starting Advent out with that fresh spiritual undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
I've also met Cardinal Seurat.
Oh, no kidding!
When I was in Rome, I got a blessing from him.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And I read all of his books.
Great stuff.
Right now I'm cooking. What I'm cooking is a pot of bourbon collard greens, but I always mix kale with mine.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're mixing a little bit of kale on the radio with it too. So, hey, listen, I appreciate the call, Deacon Martin. And I think, you know, that's great. You know,
God bless you.
Thank you. And I really like how you start off not just the calendar year, but this is something that a lot of people do too. They do their annual retreat on, you know, the start of the liturgical year in Advent, as opposed to the start of the calendar year. Because, of course, you know, hey, God is the Lord of history, right? We don't necessarily want to go by the calendar, even though the calendar is supposed to be, of course, synced to Christ's birth. They got a couple years off. That monk Dionysius in the 5th century was off a little bit on the dates. But having said that, that's a great practice as well. And obviously, people want to do retreats, too, in different liturgical seasons, like Lent as well. It's also a powerful time to do it. And yeah, some great tips there. Really appreciate the call, Deacon Martin, and enjoy your meal. Sounds delicious. You're making me hungry. God bless you. That was a Deacon Martin calling from Gary, Indiana. By the way, the home of the Jackson 5, Gary, Indiana. I remember that. We're going to go back to the phones now. Annette is calling from Kentucky. Annette, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. No, I'm not good. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I wanted to say that I love going on a retreat, and I do pray. I believe in prayer, and you know, I and millions of people have been praying for the end of abortion and Catholic freedom in America, and praying for conversions and government and. But now, right now, I feel so beaten up after the last 4 years and after this this election. And I think that what I need is the prayers now. I need to be prayed for. I need to be validated that, you know, I do feel bad. I feel very bad right now. So please do pray for me, and I need strength. I need strength to keep going.
Yeah. You know, so. We all do. And Annette, you know, I always say that Relevant Radio is a family, and we pray for one another. And I will certainly pray for you personally, Annette, and Karen Moran, who's with us as part of our show team today for the Cale Clark Show. I know that she's taking note of your name. That's, of course, Annette calling from Kentucky. And I'm sure she will mention you in person, in particular, on the Family Rosary across America. So thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate that, Annette, and promise to pray for you. That is just great. And you know, we've all been beaten up pretty badly in different ways, you know, over the last few months, and life does that, right? I mean, as Jesus promised us, he promised us this would happen. You know, in John's Gospel, he says, "In this world, you will have trouble. You will." And another thing he said to the apostles was, "There are many things I have to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. If I were to really lay it all out for you, what's going to happen in the future?" You'd faint. I mean, you literally would not be able to get up in the morning tomorrow, because a lot of you are going to have to face a lot of things. And trust me, you know, it is better to live one day at a time in God's providence. It's a blessing not to know the future, I think, in a lot of ways. And so what we need to do is to make sure that we connect with the Lord of our future, the Lord of all history. So how can we begin? A lot of people ask this question, okay, whether we're on a retreat or whether we're at home, you know, trying to improve our prayer life in 2021, how should we begin? Well, obviously, you know, praying the rosary, doing vocal prayers, that's one thing. You can kind of get the hang of that. We have to, of course, meditate during the rosary too. And there's different ways to do that. We can really concentrate on the words of the prayers on each bead, or we can think about the mystery, or we can think about maybe the particular intentions that we're praying for, the people that we're praying for during each decade of the rosary. But when we get to what's called mental prayer, this conversational prayer with God, a lot of people don't know how to start or where to begin. And obviously, in all prayer, number one, we first want to listen for God's voice, what God has to say to us. You know, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But again, as I said earlier, we can't expect that when we start to pray, we're going to be transported into a dramatic mystical vision, you know. And this is why a lot of people give up. This is why a lot of people give up when they get started. God is basically going to approach us very simply and humbly and directly, just like he came to us as a baby, a humble baby. And he's going to approach us that way in prayer. And we have to approach him that way too. So here's what Jim Stenson suggests for starting your conversational prayer. Reach into your memory banks and call up an experience from your earliest childhood. And you may remember a time, maybe in a very vivid way, or maybe in a fuzzy way. You might remember one time, maybe approaching your father with a problem. Maybe it's small, you know, but you know, in the big grand scheme of things, but it was big to you because you're a child and you're helpless. And your father lifts you with his arms, sits you in his lap. He embraces you. He comforts you. He listens to you very patiently. And he deals with your problem, and his strong arms that are holding you make you feel secure. And understand that even now, God wants to embrace you in the same way in prayer, because you're always his child, no matter how old you are. And you can recover that kind of confident peace that you knew in childhood. That's what I talked about earlier. You know, a retreat can help us recover the joy of childhood. "Learn from me," Jesus says. "I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." So I don't know, that image may help you, maybe not, as you seek to do that. But I don't know. For what it's worth, there it is. We're going to try to get a quick phone call in here before the end of the program. Mike is calling from Philadelphia. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you? We only got about a minute, but I wanted to get you on. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Cale. I'll be real quick. Thanks for the exchange last night on Twitter. I'm actually going to the handle Silly Catholic. You and I have had some hockey-related and Canadian-related.
Hey! It's great to hear your voice. Yeah, I feel like I've known you for years on Twitter.
And with Patrick. Well, it's like, yeah, this fellow Nova Scotianers from way back. But
there you go.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention about a silent retreat. Mm-hmm. I've struggled for years with alcohol addiction, and I went to a mm-hmm. silent retreat a couple of years ago now with the Calyx Society, which is a Catholic kind of version of AA.
Okay.
Blessed Matt Talbot, who is
I've heard of him, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A real intercessor for folks with alcoholism. And I went to a silent retreat. It wasn't a silent retreat. It was a retreat that had silence in it. And what I was able to learn through that is a lot of what I was trying to fill with other things, whether it was money, success, or alcohol,
yep. mm-hmm.
I was able to fill it with silence. And since then, I've really been able to learn from that and to stay sober and to grow in my love of the Lord and my relationship with the church and with my family. And again, silence I'll attribute to an awful lot of
okay.
success.
Mike,
allowing me to hear God's will in my life.
So. Mike, thank you so much for calling. Please call back again this week. I really want to talk to you more. That's the Calyx Society that you mentioned, Calix. You can look that up. Really want to thank you for calling in. Want to thank everybody who called in today. Lucas Holt produced, Karen Moran worked social media, Patrick Alog screened the calls. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.